said Eternal Father, we bless you this morning. We appreciate you for another gift of life, to be alive, to see another beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for this past week that ended a few hours ago, and your grace that has started with us. We bless you. Thank you for this past week, all our activities, ceremonies here and there, journeys, long, short and long ones, our activities, the spiritual activities. We thank you for your favor, your blessings, and your cares of our lives, your protection. We are grateful. We're back to your house to return to you thanks and praises. And also, Lord, that our vessels will be made ready for your abundant blessings for today. As we are needy people, Lord, we come to you, the great Jehovah provider, the one that is smart and able to meet our needs. We come to you, Lord, that you will be gracious to every one of us today. Lord, you will be blessing your people in different ways, Lord, both physically and spiritually. Father, Lord, don't pass us by. Anything whatsoever that might cause us to be robbed of your blessings, Eternal Father, may you undertake for us. Let not sin, Lord, in the house of God. Whatever the enemy has against us at this moment, as we come before you, Lord, we acknowledge that you are the righteous one. May you have mercy upon us. May you cleanse us by your blood, that we must stand before you with nothing between. Grant it, Eternal Father. Send your grace upon us. Send inspiration. Send anointing. Let every yoke of the enemy, in whatever capacity, be broken completely. Lord, send down your spirit abundantly upon every one of us. Lift up to higher ground the saints. Lord, at the end of the day, may our heart, Lord, be full of your blessings. And Lord, abundantly, that we'll be able to say like those coming from emails, Lord, that our souls have been blessed of thee. Grant it, Eternal Father. We appreciate you, Lord. Take glory, take honor. Lord, let the blessings of the entire day be our portions. And the glory and honor will be yours, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 1. As we continue, we read verses 16 to 21. And then chapter 2, verse 1. As we continue with the Sunday school lesson titled The Background to the Revelation of the Seven Seals. To the Revelation of the Seven Seals. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. By the grace of God, we continue with where we stopped last Sunday. We're looking at Paul's ministry. The prophet told us that he had a three phases of his ministry. which the prophet said God used as a standard for every other messengers that will come in, that follow the ages, and then that his life is also a pattern for other ministers. And last Sunday we looked at one of the quality of his ministry. The prophet said was absolutely true to the world. Paul was true to the world. And we concluded on that, and then we move on to the second phase of his ministry, and that is where we are starting this morning. Praise be to God. The prophet told us that the ministry of Brother Paul, the Ephesian church, secondly, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit. Have you gotten it? Yeah, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating the spoken and written words. I believe that do we have strangers here? Sorry. Is there a stranger here this morning? All right, God bless you. There's a reason, though strangers will still be recognized, but I have a reason for that. So that if we start from here, the stranger may not be able to follow us. That's why I'm asking after that. Alright? His ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating the spoken and written word. In 1 Corinthians, the prophet, this is Paul, ministry being examined in the light of the world. Because he being the first angel messenger, the star messenger to the first church age, he is the standard that God is using, you know, to determine other messengers that we're going to be talking about. And so we have to look at his ministry, and then we bring those other ones based on what we have seen in the life of Paul. Whichever messenger we pick and we talk about, we know that it's because that messenger approximated the ministry of Brother Paul. Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, as is displayed there. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech, and my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 to 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same had Paul speak, who steadfastly, beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he lived and walked. The prophet is establishing to us that Paul's ministry was in the power of the Spirit. He demonstrated the spoken and the written word. Acts chapter 20, verse 9 to 12. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him. And embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till the break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. We have seen the demonstration of power. Then also in Acts chapter 28, verse 7 to 9, In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Praise be to God. We know the story where this happened. Paul was going in the ship to Rome, and there the ship capsized. And before that time, God had spoken to him that, be of good cheer, you're going to appear before Caesar. God spoke to him, and he took courage. Then he was able to speak to other people. He said, all of you, go and eat. There's no life here that will be lost, because that is what the God that I serve told me. He said, the only thing that will be lost will be the shipwreck. The ship will be finished, but no life will be lost. And that was why, when the ship was heading towards the rock, the servants of the sailor, they wanted to play smart. They wanted to kill the prisoners, because they knew that once the ship hit the rock and it broke, the people will escape. Now, are you not struggling for your own life too? Were they not struggling for their life? You still wanted to terminate the lives of these people. They just didn't want them to live. And they were doing it because of Paul. So exactly, the captain told them and said, don't do it. The Bible said because he wanted to save Paul. The word of God must come to pass. And that was why Paul escaped, and he was able to, that island where signs and wonders took place. That was why that happened there. And you know, being that they were already drenched, you know, swimming in the river there, they came out all wet. So they gathered firewood for them. And Paul carried firewood and the rest of it put together in the canoe, and then he was trying to dry himself when a snake came out of the river and wrapped itself on his wrist. And Paul took it, unwound it, and smashed it on the fire. Shook it off. The people were looking at him. They said, oh, this man was really a criminal. Man looks at the physical. He was really a criminal. Even though he survived the shipwreck, Nemesis has caught up with him. You know, this man must really be a wicked man. Having escaped death through the shipwreck, he has death still caught him. Because that snake, very venomous, his strike, that was the end of it. So they were expecting Paul to swell up and then fall down. And being by the side of the fire, you know his blood will be warm. And the blood will easily circulate around. So the poison will easily circulate. But they just saw this man, nothing was happening to him. Nothing was happening to him according to the scripture. Nothing was happening to him. They eventually changed their mind. He was a god. That's the power of the Almighty God. It is a privilege to believe in Jesus Christ. Because there is no power that is greater than that power. He silenced the gainsayers. That's what God does. And through that singular act that God permitted to happen in that place, Publius' father was healed. As several other people in that place, they will have heard about Jesus Christ. We are grateful to God. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2, it said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. That was Paul talking. of his ministry. And this is what the prophet told us about Paul as regards his ministry, second phase of it, where his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, demonstrating the spoken and the written word. Then the third part of his ministry that we are using as the standard to judge the other messengers that follow, the prophet said he had the evidence fruit of his God-given ministry. Evident fruit of his God-given ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, verse 11, it's written, I am become a fool in glorifying. Ye have compelled me. You see? For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chief apostles, though I be nothing. You know, emphasizing his ministry. Was telling those Corinthians that what they have seen is ministry in his ministry. Required commendation from them. But because the people were on they were out of order, he was trying to set them in order. Then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 2, Paul says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. These are the fruit of his ministry. The people that got converted under him. The people that came to God, to Christ through him. The people that he fed the word to. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul had been the means of bringing in multitudes of the Gentile sheep. He fed them and cared for them until they brought forth righteous fruit and were prepared to meet the Lord as a part of the Gentile bride. Abraham told us, you know, the Brapo's approach when Billy Graham was accusing the pastors in his that he will go to a crusade. Maybe 50 souls will give their life to Christ and we hand them over to the pastors. Easily, hardly at the end of the day, hardly will one stand. He said, it is the fault of those pastors who will see in their office with their leg crossed drinking tea. He said, they ought to have followed up those people. Abraham said, I don't disagree with the great evangelist. He said, but I would like to ask a question. He said, Paul, when he will preach to one person, who followed that one person up? And that one person will come back with 50. But in the case of this pilgrim, was saying 50 people will give their life to Christ, not one will stay. Maybe just one of them. No increase. The prophet said, what Paul did, Paul will stay with that single soul until that single soul receives eternal life. You know why? It takes the Holy Spirit to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. That was why he commanded his disciples, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. It is there ye shall be witnesses unto me. It is the Holy Spirit that ensures the continuity of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's the one that ensures it. So if the Holy Spirit, if these 50 people did not receive the Holy Spirit, they will go back to their vomit. They will go back to their vomit. That's what happened. The prophet said they only came making decisions.
The prophet said it's a stone. What is a stone when there is no masonry to sharpen it? If you, they just, we witnessed that now when we were in the denomination. It still happens today. They don't have any other way because they don't know better. They will preach to the people. Come and give your life to Jesus. They will preach to the best of their ability because what you don't have, you can't give it to another person. What Paul had was what he gave. Abraham says that Abraham had only the ministry of emptying out. It was not given, the ministry of filling him was not given to him. So it is Malachi 4 that is the ministry of filling him. The ministry of Malachi 4 will empty you out and still fill you in. With what? Sanctifying you and then fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because it's only in the message of that is rapturing faith. The prophet said, rapturing faith lays in this message. And rapturing faith is the Holy Spirit. More of it, more of it, more of it. If rapture is going to take place now, it is more of what we have already that God will inspire. Yes. Praise be to God. He had the evidence of his God-given ministry. Because these people could not, because they don't have what it takes to keep the church of God going. And that is why it is important. The disciples couldn't have gone out to have, you know, continue the ministry of God because of the threat, the challenges. Look at what they faced. Don't preach in this name anymore. If they had no Holy Ghost, they would have backed out. Without the Holy Spirit, who would be ready to lay down his life to die? Why do people deny Jesus Christ? It's because they were afraid of death. Not certain of after death, where will I go? Because the certainty is not there. So those who died for Christ, they were certain of their lives. Certain of where they were going. Some of them desired, according to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read that. Because we are still in this. Hebrews 11. Heroes of faith. Right. All right. I had to pick out where I want to read there. I didn't think of it before. All right. Let me start reading from verse 33. Okay. Who through faith subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed the valiant in fight, turned to fly the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. You see, not accepting deliverance. Because the deliverance was with conditions. If you will deny Jesus, we will set you free. You want it? Accepting deliverance. That they might obtain a better resurrection. What did that? Faith, revelation, Holy Ghost. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, more of bonds, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. It's not the Holy Spirit they are saying, no. The promise that we are waiting, we that we are witnessing to them. And they are waiting for us. Every one of these that we saw, heroes of faith, Abraham, Dan, up to the time that Paul was writing this, every one of them, what sustained them was because they saw beyond what the eyes could see. They saw the unseen. So if a man has not seen the unseen, by the revelation of God to him or her, then there's the possibility of denial. When a man is not certain, when the reason the man will lie now is because he doesn't want to be ridiculed for not saying the truth, isn't it? For doing what is wrong, he will lie and do this. It's because he is denying Christ. That is a simple way of denying Christ, lying. And that's about the simplest thing that can be picked, you know, lie, 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 lie. And the same punishment that goes for lie goes for murder, goes for adultery. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. So, it takes revelation for anybody to not want to deny Christ. Because you know that what is your life all about? Why should I deny him? For what? Now, deny him to gain the world? Which one of these days you know you're going to leave? So I might better leave it and go and rest. Praise be to God. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul had been the means of bringing in multitudes of the Gentiles. All right? I think we read that. At the time of the giving of the revelation according to tradition, Paul had already died a martyr. But John was carrying on in his stead, exactly as Paul had done in the days of his ministry. That is not apostolic succession. The messenger to the age was not passed over to John. John wasn't the messenger. Paul was the messenger. Are you getting me now? But because the same spirit that was in Paul was in John, the continuity of the war was witnessed. So the word had to continue. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to continue what they have started. Praise be to God. So, Paul had done, but John was carrying on in his stead exactly as Paul had done in the days of his ministry. The death of Paul before the revelation was given does not at all annul the fact that he was the messenger to the Ephesian churches. For the messenger to every age, regardless of when he appears or goes, is the one who influences that age for God by means of a word manifested ministry. Word manifested ministry. And now this criteria that Abraham talks about here is enough to even place the rest of the preachers in the world today. To place them on this platform. Word-oriented ministry. If we look at that alone, look at all of the preachers, the great and mighty preachers that people acclaim today. Place them upon this single criteria of word-oriented ministry. Which of them have word-oriented ministry? Of course, if you have them, they will say they have. If you have this, they will say they have. If you have different denominations, they will say they are word-oriented. All of them claim to be the truth. But there is a standard. And that is the life of Brother Paul. That every preacher will be placed on. And seeing what we have seen in the life of Brother Paul, I mean that this is the standard that God has opened our prophet's eyes to see that God is using to determine other messengers. Anyone who fell short of you was not considered. Praise be to God. Right? Paul was that man. Amen. So we move on to Ephesians, the Simonian church age. As I read Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, this thing said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Are you saying, why are you reading verse 1? To the angel of the church in Smyrna, right. Is the angel of that church that we are identifying. We are not preaching the entire seven church age message. Praise be to God. The prophet said, move on to Smyrna church age, the messenger. The messenger. Using our God-given rule of choosing the messenger for each age, we unhesitatingly declare that Irenaeus was exalted by the Lord to that position. He was the disciple of that great saint and warrior of faith, Polycarp. Using our God-given rule, search for those words. Using our God-given rule, it's under Simonian church age. You go to
all right.
Yeah. Using our God-given rule of choosing the messenger for each age, we unhesitatingly declare that Irenaeus was exalted by the Lord to that position. He was the disciple of that great saint and warrior of faith, Polycarp. And it is no doubt, as he sat at the feet of that great man, he learned the Christian graces that flowed from his consecrated life. For Polycarp was one of the truly illustrious saints of all ages, when viewed in the light of a blameless life. You will remember from your own reading that Polycarp was martyred. He was too old. Now, Abraham brought Polycarp and Irenaeus side by side for us. And they were judged by these three criteria that we saw in the ministry of Rapport. Rapport was absolutely true to the world. His ministry was attended by signs and wonders, manifesting both the spoken and the written word. And the thought was that he had the evident fruit of his ministry. Souls were saved by his ministry. So Polycarp and Irenaeus, side by side. Meanwhile, Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp, and Polycarp was a disciple of John. John that we just talked about that continued the ministry of Paul. Polycarp was a disciple under him, who learned under him, under his ministry. And then Irenaeus was also a disciple of Polycarp. And so, Abraham brought Polycarp out. You will see in every other age that we're going to be looking at, Abraham will bring two people out to compare the best in that age, to compare their ministry. And then the one that approximated very closely the ministry of Rapport was the one that God will tell Abraham, this is the one, choose him. Praise be to God. Abraham said, too old to flee and too sincere a man to allow another to hide him and then suffer a penalty for doing so. Do you get that? Okay, let me repeat it. You will remember from your own reading that Polycarp was martyred, too old to flee, and too sincere a man to allow another to hide him and then suffer a penalty for doing so. He wouldn't allow somebody to go and hide him, and then the person that hid him now will not suffer for hiding him. He will not allow that. Too sincere. He will say, don't worry. If they want to get me, let them get me. Don't hide me. Don't worry. So that I don't want you to suffer for hiding me. Don't justify that to your life. But before he died, to allow another to hide him and then suffer a penalty for doing so, he gave himself up to death. But before he died, before he did, he asked for and was granted permission to pray 2 hours for his brethren in the Lord, for the governor, for his enemies and his captors. Like the great saints of all ages, and designing a better resurrection is too firm, refusing to deny the law and die with a free conscience. He was placed at the stake, untied at his own request, and the fire was lit. The fire bent away from his body, refusing to touch him. He was then pierced through with a sword. As this was done, water gushed from his side, drowning the flames. His spirit was actually seen to depart in the form of a white dove, released from his bosom. For all this great testimony, this student of John, the Revelator, was not militant against the Nicolaitan system. That disqualified him. He wasn't absolutely true to the world. And yet he was a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, listen very closely. That criterion that God used there, it is not given to him to be the messenger. He will have fulfilled it. Thank you. God bless you. Let's bow down our heads. Let it not be like last week. God bless you, sir. Thank you for
our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful again this morning for keeping us throughout the beginning of this month. Today is the last day of the month. We are thankful to you for your fatherly cares, your guiding step into, and going out and coming in. We thank you for our age that we are living in. Thank you for the revelation of the messenger and the message unto us. And that is what we be taught to be feeding upon. The prophet told us that we are what we eat. As we eat this message, may we become this message on two feet. In the doctrine, in every aspect of the message, O God, may we not lack what the message is supposed to do in our lives. Thank you for the portion this morning again. Lord Jesus, we are asking, O God, as your prophet has taught us, though he led this tree and David to those things, but it was your spirit that guided him as we listened to the re-echoing of the same. We ask, O gracious Father, may your spirit guide each and every one of us as individuals. May those things alive in us, Lord. Transform our lives, make us ready, Lord, for your coming. Take all the glory and honor. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that blessed him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.